Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Good morning. Welcome to Drop the Subject. It's actually noon, so I will say good afternoon. It's 12:07 here on the West Coast and 3:07 on the East Coast. I am joined in studio because Allie is out. She's out on vacation. I'm joined in studio by none other than one of our faves that dropped the subject. Dr. Jen Mann is here. How's it going?
Hey, good. You know, this used to be morning for me before I had kids. It was like noon, good morning.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I before I had a daily like show that was in the morning, it would definitely be like, I wake up when I feel like waking up and then I'll go right. But now I'm here every day.
So. I'm such a night owl. That noon was kind of morning-ish for me for many years. But, you know,
When were you going to sleep before?
You know, left to my own devices, I go to sleep between like 1 and 4 a.m.
1 and 4?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and if you leave me by myself, like I'm a creative person.
Yeah.
Just leave me with like some glue, some paper, iPad. Like I will be up all night. And now I'm at the place in my life where this morning I was up at 4 a.m.
Oh my God.
I don't know
God.
If you saw my Insta stories.
No. Well, I've seen your Insta stories, yes.
Yeah, I was taking my daughters to the ice skating rink. They're ice skaters.
Oh, nice. So, are they good?
They're amazing.
Really?
They're really amazing. They just turned 13.
Very cool.
But what to me is the most amazing and impressive about it is that they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're incredibly disciplined, which to me,
that's the most important
thing in life. Like hard work, discipline, and the ability to fail.
Yeah.
You know, literally fall down and get back up in ice skating.
Okay.
And in life to fall down and get back up.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it's all about.
And their ages again?
They're twins, 13-year-old girls.
13 years old, and they're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go ice skating.
Oh,
that's pretty extraordinary.
And they even get up earlier than the coach needs them to because they said we want to get there 30 minutes early to warm up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been trying to get myself up every day at like 5 o'clock so I can like meditate and have coffee and do the whole thing. We've talked about like the morning routine thing, and I'm just like, it's very, very difficult for me. It's better for me at night than it is in the morning.
Here's what I've learned. I'll tell you a little secret about waking up early. It is easier to wake up at 4 a.m. than 5 or 5:30.
Absolutely.
That's what my daughters and I have discovered the hard way.
4 o'clock is just like better than the 5.
I think
it has something to do with your sleep cycle.
That's what I think it is. But yeah, it's actually much easier.
Okay. So I wanted to get to this story that happened earlier this morning before we start getting to calls, because we actually have people on the phone for you already. So I wanted to kind of just update everyone that there was a shooting this morning in Pensacola at the Naval Base there. There was a young man that came onto the campus there and opened fire. 3 people were killed. Himself as well. He killed himself. We are kind of continuing to follow this story because it's still developing as we move through the morning and now into the afternoon. We've heard from the governor. We've heard from the president. We've heard from various different military officials there with the Navy. So we're continuing to follow that story, but we will keep you posted if there are any new developments on that story. Obviously, our hearts go to the families that have lost someone there. That's got to be really difficult. I wanted to ask you, though, because there's always someone that comes that's providing care for folks when something like that happens. What does that care generally look like?
You know, when you go into a situation like that, you're dealing with people who are going to have PTSD. You're dealing with people who, and these are military people, so some of them may already have it. Some of them may have been prepared on some level to go and fight out there. But it's a whole other thing when you have the experience of an unexpected attack and unexpected violence like that. I remember when I was in grad school, one of my trauma teachers said, imagine you're in a movie theater and a giant hand tears through the screen and reaches out into the audience. And to me, that I always think of that when it comes to trauma, that something so unexpected breaks through your reality and it makes it possible that anything horrible can happen again in the future. So it changes your entire take on life.
And
it makes you hypervigilant. It makes it difficult to sleep. It makes it difficult to trust. It makes it difficult to eat, to do pretty much anything.
Okay.
So you're going to have a lot of people who are experiencing enormous trauma.
Absolutely.
And the job of the people who rush in is to help normalize that and help talk them through it so that what tends to happen if you don't know that this is normal, you think, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
And that there's a whole cycle to this.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we're going to be able to kind of talk through this a little bit more as the day goes on. Like I said, if we get more developments. But we have someone on the phone right now. Lindsay is calling from Michigan. We have a couple of minutes before we have to get to a break. Lindsay, what's your question?
Oh, my God. Hi. How are you guys?
I'm very
hey,
well.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hi. So I am calling because I really need your advice on something. Dr. Jen, I'm such
you
a fan of
it.
You. God bless your amazing knowledge that you know. But so I'll get to it. So basically, my husband and I were together for 10 years before we finally got married. And then I got married. And after a few years, well, we had a baby. So she's now four. She's a four-year-old girl. And then my husband had an affair about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And obviously it destroyed me. I think it's like one of the worst things that can happen. I'm still not over it.
Of course.
He had no remorse. But I filed for divorce, but then just couldn't go through with it. It just took a toll on me and I couldn't go through with it. And I just begged him to just like try to work it out. I know, stupid me, I'm begging and he's the one that did wrong. So anyways, my question is now, I have not seen his family since this like has happened, like maybe like a few weeks even before, and they never reached out to me, like not his mom, not his sister, not his brother, nobody reached out to me. And I'm kind of like hurt by that because I feel like when your son or brother does something so wrong that, you know, we all have proof for that he's done it, don't you think like they should have contacted me? So now the problem in my marriage, one of the many, is how do I see his family and shouldn't they have reached out to me? And then he's always like, I want my family to be together on holidays. And I'm like, well, you haven't even apologized to my family. I mean, he hasn't even really apologized to me. But, like, how do I fix this family situation? You know, and I don't know. I just feel like his family should have said, I'm so sorry my son did this to you or my brother. You know,
sure.
You're like... Okay, a daughter-in-law.
Lindsay, I have a lot to say about this, as you can imagine, on so many levels. We have to go to a break. Yeah. Don't go anywhere because... we're going to talk about this because I think a lot of people relate to this. When you've been wronged
Absolutely.
In a relationship and no one in the other person's camp has reached out to you, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends. We're going to talk about it right after this break.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Lindsay from Michigan. We've got other folks on the line. And then Lisa Bloom's going to join us to talk about this extraordinary story coming out of Uber about sexual assaults that have been happening with riders and drivers. That's coming up a little bit later. You're listening to Drop the Subject with Jared and Allie with our special guest, Dr. Jen Mann. We'll be right back. We're back with Lindsay, who just explained having a really dramatic breakup with her husband after an affair and how she's trying to navigate how she should be dealing with the family. And Dr. Zhang, you were wanting to jump into this because I saw your face. You were like, oh, there's so much to talk about here.
Oh, Lindsay, girl. Okay.
Right.
A few
so
things.
Just so you know, we are still living together now. Like I called off the divorce, so he's living with me. So again, like, I just don't know how to see his family or face the situation.
Okay. A few things. First of all, his family's loyalty is supposed to be with him. So the fact that you haven't heard from them does not surprise me at all. Mm. So I think you're focused on the wrong thing. They're not in your camp. It's not their job to be in your camp. It's not their job to apologize for his sins. He's
no
not
matter
even
how good that relationship was.
But also, he's not even apologizing for what he did wrong. Yeah. I mean, Lindsay, he did something offensive, hurtful, that broke your heart. He, according to you, is not at all remorseful, and you're taking him back. He's not remorseful. Why would his family be remorseful?
Yeah, that's a really
right.
good point.
You know? And so the question to me is, well, I have two questions to start with. One is, when he's not remorseful, what does he say? Does he have excuses about why he did it? Is he blaming you? How is he not remorseful?
He says that he always says this. He says, I drove him to cheat.
And how did you do that? Were you neglecting the relationship? Were you guys not having sex?
He always denied me sex even before. And he said that I like gained weight. I let myself go. You know, I had a daughter. I kind of had a little, you know, phase of just being a new mom and everything. But, you know, he says I drove him to it. Like, we constantly
fought all the time. How much weight did you gain?
About 40 pounds.
Okay. And are you doing anything to get healthy again and to feel good and to feel sexy and for him to feel good as well?
You know what? I was trying, and then this thing hit me. So now I like just gained even more weight. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very hard. Like, you can go to the gym all you want, but if you're not mentally there, you're just going for nothing. Like, I couldn't get out of this dark hole. Like,
but my question,
this was really, I even told him, like, cheating is worse than a death. A death, you can get closure, you can say goodbye, but like, this is just an open wound. Is he doing it again? Did he cheat on me again? Is he talking to her? You know, so
of
it's
course.
Just...
It blows like, up the relationship and the trust and the future that you expected to have. When if he had passed away, people would bring you food, they would comfort you, they would be there for you. Like, I totally get where you're coming from.
Right.
Should she even
so
still
if we're
be
working on the
Lindsay,
marriage?
Lindsay,
how do I,
Lindsay? If he's treating you so poorly and he's not remorseful, and you know it doesn't seem like there's like this great dynamic, should she even be with him?
I already know that I shouldn't be. I just am a very weak person, and I have no strength to get out. I'm in fear of the unknown. I'm very scared. But
Lindsay,
my thing is, if we're working on it now,
Lindsay,
how do I break? Yes.
Yeah, Lindsay, I don't put up with that. I'm sorry. What are you doing to not be weak? What are you doing? Your focus is on the relationship and getting him back so that you cannot have to be strong. What are you doing to make you strong? Are you doing therapy? Are you, like, what are you doing to better you?
I am in therapy. I am going to the gym. I went today. I'm trying to get myself out of this dark hole. So it's like I do try every day. I take care of my daughter. I do what I got to do around the house. But
yeah.
You know, I'm just, if we're deciding to work on it, and his biggest thing is, you need to come see my family, and, you know, you need to come over on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, I can't face these people because I have so much hatred towards them.
Lindsay?
You're
focused on the wrong stuff. The person who you can't face is you.
Mm.
You have trouble, I'm sure, even looking in the mirror, knowing that you allowed this guy to do this and there were no repercussions for him. You groveled and begged him to come back to you because you didn't have the self-esteem to stand on your own or to say, hey, I'm not going to allow you to treat me like this until you figure out what your part in this is and how much you've hurt me and have some remorse for that. I'm not into this. And look, relationships happen in a system. And what happened in your system with you gaining weight, with the lack of sex in the relationship, which it sounds like it's more on him, you not taking care of yourself, that occurs in a system. And it's not just one person. And it's not okay to cheat on someone just because they gained weight. But at the same time, you also have to look at what was going on in the relationship that he went there. And please understand, I'm not blaming you. But it's a symptom of the problem in the relationship. But the number one thing that you need to focus on is not this marriage, is you getting stronger, having better self-esteem, and having the ability, whether you choose to or not, to stand on your own two feet, because that is where the healing takes place for you. And there's no way you're going to have a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship until that happens.
Really, really great advice,
okay.
Dr. Jen. I appreciate all that feedback is like so valuable. Lindsay, we are out of time, but I really appreciate you giving us a call and taking the time to share your story with us. We really do appreciate it.
But she didn't even answer my question. She went completely left. I'm trying to ask her, if we're there and we're working on our marriage, how do I face this family situation? Do you think
I just didn't give you the answer you wanted. The answer to your question, when you say how do you face them, they don't matter. Your focus needs to be on you. You walk in there with your head held high. What they think doesn't matter. In AA, they say what other people think of you is none of your business, and that's the attitude you need to walk in there with. Their loyalty is with him, not with you, and you're on your own in there.
Yeah.
And you're kind of on your own in this marriage because he doesn't have your back.
She absolutely needs to get out of that situation. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm Jared. Allie is out. Dr. Jen is joining us live in studio all show long. And we've got to get into the story where Uber has released a safety report revealing almost 6,000 incidents of sexual assault over the last couple of years. And it's kind of mind-blowing to think that this much sexual assault has been going on in Uber rides. They say that 99% of these incidents are... 99% of their rides, there's nothing that ever happens. But there is a small portion of rides where something has happened, the majority of which are happening to riders and not drivers. And we have Lisa Bloom joining us on the phone right now because, Lisa, you're actually representing some of the folks in these lawsuits. Is that right?
Hi. Thank you. Yes, my law firm, the Bloom Firm, represents
many victims of Uber and Lyft sexual assaults. We have for years. I think these numbers are grossly underreported. And if even 1% of the millions and millions of rides are resulting in sexual assault, I think they have a significant problem. I think the number is much higher than that, though. There's a lot of cover-up. There's a lot of secret settlements. And I think it's much higher.
I would have to agree.
I'm curious, what do you think people should be doing to protect themselves in these kinds of instances? So, I know you've got some perspective on that.
Yes. And listen, I do take them sometimes when I'm traveling. If I have the option to take a regular licensed taxi from an airport, for example, I prefer that because those folks are subjected to much higher background checks. And you're much safer in a regular taxi or a licensed car service. But if you are going to take a ride share, please use the Follow My Ride feature. Send your ride to somebody. Tell somebody, I'm going to call you when I get there. I expect to get there at 10:53. If you don't hear from me by 10:54, we've got a problem. Do not ever accept the water that they offer you. I've had several clients who believe that they were drugged from the water and they woke up in hotel room or in an alley having been raped. So do not ever take the water that they offer you.
Oh, my God.
If you're one of the problems is that a lot of women are intoxicated when they get in the car. They think they're doing the responsible thing, right, by not driving. I had too much to drink. I'm going to take an Uber. But if you're a predator, you know, this is the best thing that ever came along. You can sign up for this to be a rideshare driver within 24 hours without ever meeting anybody.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm Jarrett. Allie is in Asia. Dr. Jen is sitting in with me all day. Dr. Jen, so happy to have you here.
It's such a pleasure.
It's such a pleasure to have you. So we had some audio issues. We got some tweets and things like, what's happening? We had some audio issues with our situation here. So we appreciate having Attorney Lisa Bloom joining us on the air there. But we had this conversation about how, you know, Uber is something that the question I was asking was Uber is something that is, you know, run by a bunch of individuals in individual cars. And then there's also like the corporate side of it. Right. And how much of it is individual responsibility and how much of it is Uber's responsibility? And Lisa was saying, you know, it's Uber's responsibility. They're the major corporation who markets this and offers it to everyone. But then you were saying that you've also had an experience that was less than savory.
Oh, yeah.
OK.
At the time, this was a few years back.
Okay.
I didn't even know I was in an Uber, which I know sounds strange. What happened was I was on the set of my show, VH1 Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen. We ran super, super late. You know,
as those shows do.
Yeah. You know, I function really well on about three, four hours of sleep for long periods of time. But we had one night, it was like day 20 of shooting, and it was 2:00 in the morning, and I was exhausted. And I said to the producer, I said, I'm so exhausted, I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep at the wheel. Would you be able to get me a ride home? Mm-hmm. They're like, sure, no problem. So a car pulls up, one of the kind of Uber Blacks. Mm-hmm. And I get in the car, me and my makeup artist, who's also my best friend, many of you who follow me on social media, mm-hmm. know Summer, and we get in the car and we're exhausted. We are so tired, we can barely think straight. And we do this ride, you know, every day. For years, we've done this ride,
yeah.
So we know exactly where to go and like, what's a wrong turn? And the guy starts talking on his phone as he's driving. And Summer says to him, hey, you know what? I'm really not comfortable. Would you please not be holding your phone and talking while you are driving us?
Mm-hmm.
And he ignores her.
Oh.
And she says, excuse me, sir, please stop doing that. And he doesn't really say anything, eventually puts down his phone, and he starts to make a left-hand turn. And we're like, no, you're going the wrong direction. You're supposed to go straight. And he makes a left-hand turn.
Oh, no.
And we're like, wait, 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 no, 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 you're going the wrong place. And he said, I have to go home and get my charger.
Uh-uh.
I'm like, you're not going home with us in the car. Pull over. Stop right now and pull over. And he didn't. And we're talking, we're yelling, we're going, we want to get out of the car, pull over the car now.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Ignoring us. So we're in the car. We call up the producer. We're like, this guy is not going in the right direction.
He even hears you on the phone and continues.
Yeah. And the producer's like, call the police. And like, we're freaking out. And he pulls up to his house. And his son comes running out with the charger, hands him the charger. And he starts to pull back to like go back on the route. We're like, pull over now. We're getting out. We're getting out. And he will not do it. He keeps driving.
God.
We're screaming. It's 2:30 in the morning. We are in Chatsworth. Like, there's nobody on the streets. We see a gas station. At this point, Eric and I were pretty new in the relationship. He had just been on set.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Laguna at the time. He had left, and I
Eric
called
is your
him.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. And I called, and I was like, you know, I told him what's going on. He's like, where are you? I told him. He's on the phone, and we're screaming at the Uber driver, pull over, pull over. So he pulls over in a gas station. 2:30 in the morning, nobody anywhere. We go to open the door, and the doors are locked.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a bad movie.
Oh, yeah. And we're freaking out. We're in the middle of nowhere. The guy's not unlocking the doors. It's got the baby locks on. We're screaming and screaming. Finally, he eventually opens up. He unlocks the door. We open the door. We get out. I take a picture of his license plate. I take a picture of the car.
Nice.
We're pulling our stuff out. He drives away. We're standing there in the middle of a gas station at 2:30 in the morning. We're like, what horrible thing is going to happen now? And then next thing I know, it was like something from a movie. I see these big, bright lights coming towards us.
Do you hear the choir too?
And it's a Hummer. And it's Eric. Somehow he has found us. Prince Charming.
Oh my God.
Shows up at 2:30 in the morning. He comes, he gathers us, and takes us home.
That's a moment where he becomes more than the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oh,
that was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he was totally Prince Charming. But the moral of this, like, I didn't take an Uber for many years. I try not to take them at night or alone. But it really hit home to me afterwards when I found out, oh, that was an Uber, because
You hadn't used one before.
I didn't know. I was like, oh, what company did you guys use? This guy was a maniac. Like, we need to report him. And they said, oh, you know, we will report it to Uber.
Absolutely.
But it was shocking to me. And I felt so vulnerable as a woman in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, in the car with a stranger.
Yeah, that's definitely when you're in a car that's moving and you can't get out of it. And you don't want to be going wherever it's going. I don't think there's much more nerve wracking than that. And when you don't know who this person is, you're yelling at them and they're not responding to you. That's terrifying.
And every safety expert that I've ever talked to always says, don't get in a car with a stranger. And now we pay money to get in a car with a stranger that, like we talked about with Lisa Bloom, may not have been background checked, may be
absolutely
not the person that they present themselves to be.
And because of the audio issues, I don't know if you guys heard us talking about Gavin DeBecker, but Gavin DeBecker, who we both referenced, Gavin DeBecker talks about how important it is to trust your gut. He's like, human beings are the only people who will feel that feeling and like go against it. Whereas if an elevator door opens and a dog is sitting there and it does not like the energy that it's getting from the elevator,
it won't get on.
Because, you know, especially women are trained to be nice. And be kind
don't let it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't want to be a work.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls for Dr. Jen. And I might chime in with some advice, but what do I have to say when she's here? Like, I'm saying, we're Drop the Subject coming up right after this.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. Ali Johnson is in India. She's at an Indian wedding, and so she's not here, which means I've got different guest co-hosts every single day. And our Tuesday staple, Dr. Jen Mann, is with us all show long today. So happy to have you.
Bad for Ali, good for me.
Bad for Ali, good for you. That's right. I want to remind you, before we get to a phone call, because we have Courtney on the phone, we have this great contest going on our website. If you go to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win this amazing trip for two to Vegas with airfare, hotel, tickets to a concert, and a meet and greet with Lizzo. Like,
wow.
We keep saying that we're so jealous of this.
Cool.
It's very cool, right? So go to wearechannelq.com right now for your chance to win. You're going to get tickets to this concert with Lizzo. That'll be on New Year's Eve. But also, you're staying at the Cosmo. You've got meet and greet passes and then a $1,000 shopping spree with Dia & Co. Like, You've got to go over to WeAreChannelQ.com right now.
Whoever wins needs some therapy to help them through.
Or a friend to come along.
Tolerating so much joy all at once. I'm there.
Absolutely.
There for him or her.
Go to WeAreChannelQ.com right now for your chance to win this New Year's Eve prize package, which is so cool. Okay. Now, we've got Courtney on the phone right now. What's your question, Courtney?
Hi, guys. Friendship-wise, my boyfriend since high school. And, kind of pursued me for about 12 years, and I finally gave him a chance. And, we both have been single a long time, haven't been in love in a long time. And unfortunately, I suffer from borderline personality disorder after childhood trauma and also bipolar. Mm-hmm. So he's got a very, he's an air traffic controller, so he has a very stressful job. So he drinks a lot. Bump heads a bit, and he has a habit of paying for other girls' tabs and giving them presents and things like that that I don't feel are appropriate, and we kind of clash a lot about that, and he's very defensive about it. Recently, got into a really big fight, and I'd be honest, I did pick a lot of fights throughout this relationship in the beginning, just insecurities and stuff with these females. And now we've kind of been in this fight for about 2 weeks, and he refuses to see me, but will tell me I miss you, and will say, we need to just, we need to talk, but I need more time, but still contacts me. I don't really necessarily reach out to him. He mainly reaches out to me, and then today kind of said, we're working our way back basically to each other, and I said, I was happy, I missed you, I love you, and he said, I don't mean to be a jerk, but we're working towards that, and we have a lot to discuss. And it's kind of tough. Because
how long has this been going on that you guys haven't been seeing each other?
It'll be 2 weeks on this coming Tuesday. We haven't seen each other.
And how long have you guys actually been dating? You said your boyfriend...
It's only 6 months. Only 6 months.
Okay.
But we went through a really traumatizing event. I didn't think I could have kids for about 20 years, although I was told that by doctors. And he is the one and only person that ever was able to do that. And I had to be pragmatic and make a decision that was the hardest one of my life, that I always wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
But I needed a life-changing surgery for my leg that I just recently had to, literally like 4 weeks ago. So he kind of left me in the midst of this too.
So all at once, you had to terminate a pregnancy, you had surgery on your leg, and he took off?
Oh my God.
He didn't really take off. It was more, I picked a fight, and he, called me a piece of and, after he'd been drinking, and, I tried to get out of a vehicle. It wasn't moving, but it was, waiting to turn. And so it wasn't a good fight, and it made him pretty much push me really far, further than I ever pushed him, basically.
Okay. So I have to ask you the question. Why are you dating a man with a drinking problem who buys other women gifts and calls you terrible things?
Because realistically, it's not as bad as it seems. That's the craziest part. Is like these situations outside of those, everything is awesome. But I push him pretty hard.
That's like saying Jeffrey Dahmer was such a lovely dinner companion, except for those times when he ate those boys. I mean, there are certain things that no matter how charming someone is, no matter how wonderful they are during the good times, if they do them during the bad times, then it needs to be a deal breaker. And I suspect, given what you said about the borderline personality disorder and the bipolar, and it sounds like you've had some trauma in your background, that maybe you don't have the self-esteem to have faith in your ability to attract a healthier, kinder, more loving, consistent kind of person as a partner. And to me, the fact that you guys are not talking for 2 weeks is actually a really nice way to form an exit strategy. That you're not seeing each other. I think this is a good time to exit. This sounds like a relationship where you trigger each other enormously and do not have the skills or the tools to know how to de-escalate things and work through them. The fact that you had a conflict and haven't spoken for 2 weeks to work that out is really problematic.
So I think that you guys kind of need to separate yourselves and spend some time working on yourselves individually, that you need to get yourself working on things in individual therapy so that you increase your self-esteem, you develop better communication tools, better conflict resolution, better communication, and he needs to figure himself out. I think that it is understandable that you don't want to be with someone, or I shouldn't say that I don't want you to be with someone who buys other women gifts. And I think that he needs to figure out his drinking problem. The fact that he has a stressful job as an air traffic controller is not an excuse for a drinking problem. When one has a drinking problem, they need to address it. Go to a 12-step program, get some therapy, figure things out so you don't need to use alcohol in order to deal with the stresses of life. That is not healthy, and that doesn't lead to a healthy relationship.
I think the thing that's really scary to me about this situation is, like, she's going through such a really difficult time right now, having lost this baby, and, like, even though we're fighting about something, you still need someone that's going to be able to support you and, like, help you go through that, no matter what the fight is that we're arguing about, because that doesn't really end up mattering when something that significant comes along. So,
and it sounds like they're super volatile, and it, you know, I worked for a rape and battle hotline for many years, and that was kind of the most common thing that I heard. Well, when he's good, he's so good.
Right.
But that's not enough.
We want to thank Courtney for giving us a call. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, more Drop the Subject. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm Jarrett. Allie is out. Dr. Jen is here filling in for her. Dr. Jen, thank you so much for being here. You've been so much fun.
My pleasure. Having a blast with you. Giving advice, talking about topics.
Anyone that has not been tuned in, you can check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Type in Drop the Subject. Make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe, and check out the show that you've missed so far. Right now, we have Carmen, who is calling us from New Orleans. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. We want to shout out B97 FM HD2, where we broadcast live every single day. So, Carmen, what's your question?
Okay. Well, me and my boyfriend, we've been dating for about 9 months now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes there's little boundary issues. He has some female friends. And, you know, even though he's assured me that, you know, they're just friends, he don't want them like that, he don't even see them like that. You know, I know that they may want him like that, and so it makes me a little bit uncomfortable with that relationship that he has with them, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to let him have his friends and, you know, be that, you know, be the girlfriend that's not jealous, and, you know, I don't want to come off as crazy, but also, you know, feel comfortable and feel like, you know what, it's okay, but not feeling like he's going over those boundaries as far as, like, talking to them on the phone and, you know, spending time with them, and, you know, I don't really know them like he knows them. And also, there is probably a little bit of trust issues on the both sides a little bit. And it, for me, for him, it's like, you know, he's told me everyone that he has ever, you know, talked to as far as in our, you know, in our community, and I've asked him too. So just so we both know, but it's like, he'll ask me about somebody and I'll be like, no, I never talked to them before. I never messed with them. And then, but I get triggered by that because it's like, I've been trying to just show him, like, you know, that, hey, you can trust me, and, like, let's move forward, let's move past all that. And I get so triggered when he does that.
Do you get triggered when he asks you, like, oh, hey, have you hooked up with that person before?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think that, well, I'll say this. In the past, we had, like, little some stuff that happened on both sides. I never, you know, hooked up with anybody else or anything like that, but I had some stuff happened with my ex, and back and forth. At the beginning of this, before it was even a relationship, it was a little bit of back and forth because he didn't know what he wanted, and I was kind of like, okay, you're playing games. I don't have time for this. I know somebody who knows what they want, and you're playing games with me right now. And so I know that I do still feel a little, you know, guilty just from that, and also hurt and mad at him because I felt like, you know, if you weren't back and forth with my feelings, I would have been here. I would have been 100% here. I would have never, you know, kind of been back and forth, but you know, you play with my feelings, I feel like, and I also am hurt by that, and I know he feels kind of like I kind of play with his feelings a little bit, and I think he's kind of maybe a little bit like he's done a little bit like, dang, I let her get away with that, and, you know, I still stayed with her and tried to make it work, because he's told me this before, like, months ago, we had a conversation.
Carmen, you guys have only been together for 9 months. Have you been monogamous and committed for 9 months, or, like, that was the agreement between the two of you, or included in that 9 months was the, we're not sure, like, we're dating, but we are probably seeing other people, kind of loosey-goosey thing?
Okay. I would say the first 2 months we were not dating. It just kind of like we were together. And we were just like a couple, but without the title. And then, you know, after 2 months, he actually his girlfriend. And after that point, we were together. Like, he said he's been staying for me this whole time. And I have been too. Now, when we did break up, like, there was a point where we first got together, then we kind of broke up. He did have sex with someone. He told me about the girl. You know, I know her, like, you know, in the community. And, you know, I went back to my ex. I never slept with him because I'm just not, you know, I'm not doing all that. But, and I think low-key maybe, I don't know if he kind of believes that, but it's like, this is the truth. Like, it just didn't happen. But, you know, and I let it go because we were together, so I'm not, you know, mad at him.
So, Carmen, this is a lot of very interesting information. What's your question for me? I want to make sure I hone in on what you're looking for.
My question is, I guess, how do I handle, like, how do I not snap? Like, I want us to get to a point where he doesn't ask me about people. Like, I don't want us to be together for 2 years and he's asking me about somebody, you know, from 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Like, I want to move past that. And also, I don't want to feel jealousy towards his friend.
Carmen, how are his boundaries with his friends?
I feel like they're okay.
Is he sharing inappropriate information about you, your relationship, intimate moments? Are they being sexual at all? Is he confiding in them? Mm. What are the boundaries like?
I'm going to say this. I think he probably confides in them a little bit. I don't think he tells them everything. I know that when we did have that breakup and he slept with the other girl, he did text one of his friends and told her, you know, I felt like I cheated. Oh, my gosh. And they were kind of like, no, you did, you know, you did what you were supposed to do. And I mean, I may be a little bit salty over that, but that's all right. But I know that, you know, he did.
Look, you can feel salty, but the truth is he was a free agent at that point. He was allowed to do that. So it sounds like his boundaries are appropriate. Are your boundaries with your male friends appropriate?
Completely.
Okay.
Does he think that, though? Does he think your boundaries are appropriate with your male friends?
It's weird because he makes like little comments. But the thing is, like, my friend, you know, he's known his friend since college. I've known my best friend. I've known him since seventh grade. It's like, if I wanted to go there, we would have been with there, you know, for me. So it's like, no. And then he's met him. So he knows, like, they're two completely different people. Completely different. Like, if you see smooth and you see maybe awkward, they're like that. The opposite of that. You know, my man is smooth. My best friend is awkward. I love him, though. And we got great, you know, that's my best friend. But I wouldn't go for him. It's just like two different people.
Okay. Carmen, I have a lot of things to say to you. We need to go to the break, but I have many points I would like to make with you and a lot of advice. So please don't go anywhere. Hang with me. And I've got a lot to say. You're going to get a lot of advice. You're getting an earful.
We're going to take a quick break. We got more Drop the Subject coming up after a couple of songs. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. We're in the middle of a chat with Carmen, who is calling us from New Orleans, and she's telling us that she's got some challenges with her boyfriend. They've been together for about 9 months, and the main things here are the boundaries with his female friends, and then she was talking about her boundaries with her male friends, and I was asking, like, does he feel like your boundaries are good? And you were about to jump in because you said you had a whole lot to say to her.
Well, first of all, Carmen, welcome back. I think that when it comes to him pushing your buttons when he asks, hey, you know, who's that guy? Have you ever hooked up with him? I think there's a part of you from what you said that feels guilty about having hooked up with that ex of yours. And I think that the reason why you're getting triggered is that it's kind of unresolved in you. I think you don't feel really great about it. And your job in all of this is to help him to feel safe with you. And as soon as he feels safe and comfortable and can trust you, he's not going to ask those questions that feel really annoying and triggering for you. When it comes to him and his female friends, number one, get to know them. You go out to dinner with him. It sounds like he's spending all his time on the phone and hanging out with them without you. But it's time for you to get to know them. It is much harder for another woman to cross those boundaries and be inappropriate when you're their pal. Then it feels like a betrayal, not just to the relationship, but to you. Mm-hmm. So you want to kind of get to know them, become friendly with them. And not to mention, it's way more appropriate when you're in a relationship with someone, you include them. And then the other thing is, I really want to see you nurture your connection with your boyfriend and redevelop trust. And I think you guys need to spend more time face to face together, actually not with these
these other people, like I'm suggesting, like a dinner, but put down your phones, like don't watch TV, just like hang out and talk. And you know, part of what I like to do also, Carmen, you've been such a sport when we even had audio problems, is I'm going to send you a copy of my book, The Relationship Fix. And it has a ton of suggestions about communication and connection, intimacy in the book. And there's even a list of 28 questions that you and your boyfriend can ask each other together to kind of help nurture the relationship and the connection. And then last but not least, I think that it's important for you to help him to understand. And a lot of men in particular, especially hetero men, don't seem to understand that what your intention is not the determinant of whether someone else has feelings for you. That your boyfriend says, well, I don't have those feelings for these women, so it doesn't really matter. But that's cool, and that's great, and it's nice that he's sharing that with you. But one of these women in particular, you had mentioned, you know, had intentions with him, and that she had approached him at one point and said, hey, I'd love to be your girlfriend. So you know better. And sometimes part of it is educating a guy like him and saying, like, honey, it's so sweet that you're so loyal to me and that you don't have feelings towards these women. But one thing for you to understand, see, even if you don't have those feelings towards her, she may have them towards you. And it harms the relationship. It's not a pure relationship. When there one person has sexual feelings and wants a relationship with the other person, it's not a pure friendship. It's not an honest friendship. It's a relationship that has an agenda, and that's a whole different thing.
Carmen, I'll say, like, I'm always talking to my straight female friends about their relationships with straight guys, and like I feel like there's always like a major communication barrier between men and women. And like Dr. Jen's book, being able to have those questions that you guys can ask each other, it's really really unpack like a bunch of different things that you didn't even know to ask each other, or that you didn't know that he thought or know that he felt or know that he'd gone through, that will kind of contextualize how he's moving in the relationship with you. And it'll probably make a really big difference in your relationship if you guys can get through that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you, guys.
Carmen, don't go anywhere. Emmy's going to take your contact info, and I'm gonna send you a book. I'm going to send you some swag. Like, I'm going to hook you up.
Thank you so much for calling, Carmen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Stay on the line. This was a really great chat, though. Like I was saying to you in the break, whenever I'm talking to my female friends about their boyfriends, I always can tell whether or not I can even really function with this person by how he handles me.
Yeah.
And my straight female friends, when they bring a straight guy around, like if the guy shuts down or can't talk or doesn't know what to do or is just like very quiet, it's always a red flag to me, like, This is not someone that I would hope to see you with.
Totally.
Because it doesn't seem like they are able to like open up because they're so like homophobic or scared or haven't been exposed. So.
Yeah, and look, you have to, there's some people who need to be educated, and it's unfortunate when we have to be the ones to do it.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are just really
resistant.
Messed up. I'm trying to find radio-friendly ways to describe what I'm thinking. But there are people for whom it's not a matter of not knowing better. It's not a matter of, oh, I grew up in an environment where I was taught a certain way, but it's just kind of who they are, and those are the forget about it people.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, and Dr. Jen, we're almost out of time already.
Oh, no.
I know.
I hate that.
More Drop the Subject coming up.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Dr. Jen, we have blown through 2 hours already. I don't know where all the time went.
Yeah. Way too fast.
I know. We've had such a good time with you.
We need more time together.
We do.
I'd like to hang with the callers, answer more questions.
Next time, we'll just blow out all the music and just go like 2 straight hours.
Yeah. Or I'll come on a 4-hour day.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I need to do.
I heard Brian in his office just sit up straight, like, blow out all the music. What happened? I want to remind everyone that Dr. Jen has a fantastic book that's available right now. It's called The Relationship Fix, Dr. Jen's 6-Step Guide to Improving Communication, Connection, and Intimacy. It's available wherever books are sold. And if you're Carmen, you just scored yourself a free copy of it. Going to be sending her
and
a bunch of swag.
Some other goodies as well.
Very cool stuff.
And I do giveaways.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't done one for a while. I've been meaning to, but, you know, you can follow me on social media at Dr. Jen Mann, 2 N's on Jen, 2 N's on Man.
Yes.
And there should be one coming up before the end of the year.
Pretty active with the Twitter and Instagram. So make sure to go over and follow Dr. Jen for more information.
Snapchat.
And you're on the Snap?
I'm on the Snap.
I'm on Facebook.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So you can find her on all the social meds. And you can find her website, drjenman.com. That's two N's on Jen, two N's on man. Wanted to get into this last story before we get out of time, run out of time. There was this story that's been going around about this May-December relationship. There's
Video's unbelievable.
The video's unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. So this couple, there are two guys they met when they were 17 and 49. My goodness. They mm-hmm. have this enormous gap between them. And like you watch the video, like when you hear it, you're like, what the hell is this? And then you start watching it and you're like, they really seem to be into each other. And then they're like, they've been together for 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
You have a lot of feelings about May-December relationships, especially this one.
Yeah. You know, look, I have a bias. First of all, my training comes from a very feminist philosophy. Mm-hmm. I started out at the Los Angeles Commission on Assault Against Women as a rape and domestic violence counselor. So to me, the power disparity between a 17-year-old child and a 49-year-old man is massive. The level of life experience, the ability to be independent. I mean, our brains aren't even done developing until we're 25. And, you know, on my show, Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen on VH1, we had on season two, Courtney Stodden and Doug Hutchinson. She was 16 when they met and he was 52, actually, when they married. And when she came in, and I said to her and her mom, I was like, this is not good. She was very defensive. And I said, this is unhealthy. There's too much of a difference in power here. And, you know, look, kind of like the couple in the story of the 17 and 42-year-old who, and, you know, if you watch the video, you have to post the video. Because it's
well, I'm
going
to post the link to the YouTube
video. He's wearing a shirt that says, like, Daddy Love. Or
I love Daddy,
And, you know, it's like Doug would say, I'm raising my wife. And Courtney would giggle and he'd suck on her toes. But I think that the problem in it is not about the way it looks, but more so about the age disparity and the power disparity and what that means and how that plays out in a relationship. It's just too much.
Yeah, I've done some May-Decembers, but it's been much more, you know, July, August than May-December. Okay, Jessica is calling us from Fairfield. I'm nervous that I might know Jessica. We only have a couple of minutes, so Jessica, how's it going?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing very well. Okay, do I know you?
No.
Okay, you're calling from Fairfield. I'm from Fairfield. So I was like, I know a Jessica in Fairfield. What's your question?
My question is how to deal with someone who is manipulating in your life.
What? Who's manipulating you?
My mother-in-law.
Ooh.
And how often do you have to see her?
Once a month.
And in what way is she manipulating you? And is she manipulating your spouse as well?
My spouse.
Okay, what does she say or do? Give me a quick bullet point.
Sure. Kids don't want to spend the night over with her, and she basically is constantly telling my husband that they have to. That's just one scenario.
Okay, so it sounds like she is someone who does a bit of a guilt trip and that she wants for you to kind of run over your kids' feelings in order to take care of her. By any chance, is she a bit on the narcissistic side?
I don't think so, but she's very passive aggressive.
And did she do this with your husband as he was growing up?
Yes.
Okay, and has he ever created good boundaries with her where he says no to her?
Not good boundaries, but he has said no in the past.
Okay, that's where I would put my focus. You're not going to change her, but what you need to do is empower your husband to have boundaries with her and to say no and to prioritize your kids' well-being, and that if they're uncomfortable there, if they don't want to be there, you always want to encourage your kids to listen to that uh-oh feeling and to be able to express what they want, what they don't want, and not make them go someplace that they don't want to go. Obviously, you want to nurture them having a relationship with her, but if they don't want to sleep over, they can still have a great relationship with her without slumber parties. But I would really focus in on your husband and helping him to understand
what healthy mother, son, grandchild relationship is and what it isn't, and kind of what his history with her means to all of you now.
Jessica, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. We've got to, we're basically out of time here. We have like a few more seconds left. Dr. Jen, who do you go to when you need advice?
Eric, my boyfriend, my parents, and my own therapist. And I have some amazing friends, some amazing female friends who I do go to for advice.
Well, I appreciate that we can always go to you for advice. We always see you on Tuesdays here. So we'll see you back here next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
For covering your Hump Day article that always comes out in InStyle.
InStyle magazine.
And once again, you can check out Dr. Jen everywhere at Dr. Jen Mann on the social medias, drjenmann.com. There's two N's on man, two N's on Jen. Check out her book, The Relationship Fix, Dr. Jen's six-step guide to improving communication, connection, and intimacy. That is Drop the Subject for this week. I'm Jared. That's Dr. Jen. We will see you next week. Char Jocelle will join me on Monday. I look forward to seeing you all. Have a fantastic weekend.